on just a little, and then he's better with me, and she's trying to tell me some things I need to know, for his all his life. Well, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, with a kind of jealousy. I don't want anything to happen to you. I want you to stay true to the church. I want you to believe in the one God and follow the and obey the commandments of Christ. Listen, I'm jealous of you with a godly jealousy. He started the Corinthian Church of Christ 2,000 years ago. The Church of Corinth, like we had Church of Christ. Spring Valley had a Church of Christ. Two of us and so forth. So they have the Church of Christ at Corinth. They have a Church of Christ at Athens. They have at Rome. They had a church at Ephesus and so on. Because I'm jealous of you, for I have espoused you or engaged you to one husband. That I may present you as a chaste or pure virgin. So we're married. We're engaged. We're married. We're his spouse. Now you couldn't be married to John the Baptist, and the Mary being ready, and the old bustle of the Jehovah's Witnesses group, which is only 100 years old, or the Mormon group, which is over 150 years old, and be married to Christ, and that would be adultery, wouldn't it? So people really don't know their Bibles very well. And that's why all the confusion out in that world, and all the minions out in that world, Bible believing Catholics, millions of Mormons, millions of Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Brethren, Episcopalian, and all made up by man. Paul said this, and I do Paul. In fact, he said, if you don't teach, I'm going to read it to you. You don't teach what I taught. He said, you are accursed. I marvel, he said, 2,000 years ago to the church at Galatia, that you so soon removed to another gospel. And look at the world. They moved into hundreds of different gospels. They're all going to hell. The gospel of Christ is the power of God to save you if you believe it. What gospel saves you? The gospel of Christ. Only one gospel. That one saves you, and the other will take you to hell. I make up a gospel, you're going to go to heaven by it? How ridiculous can you be? Old Mary Baker Eddy, 100 years ago, she makes up her own gospel, and they got a lot of Christian scientists. They're about as Christian as your little dog is. If you ever read any of her books, you'd have to be worried, really. There's no understanding of them, and I mean that, not being facetious, nor am I trying to place somebody down to be mean or anything. Her books cannot be understood. I defy anybody. I've got them at home, a couple of them. You don't have to read a lot of them. I defy anybody to take her book and rationalize it. By that I mean explain to me what it means. And I've asked many in my tramping around from door to door in the past, many a Christian scientist, please tell me, what do you really believe in? Well, you know, Christ said even a fool couldn't understand this. Could not make an error in this. But the Christian scientists, they can't explain to you. I've never had one. I had one with a tenant one time in the hospital, in the apartment house that I managed at the time. Well, it's the publisher here in San Diego. Probably still is. Publish books, like things, some business things, too. You get back to play with friend, and I was reading a Church of Christ, I mean a Christian Scientist book, because a woman had handed to me that had been in a Bible class of mine, an elderly woman, she asked me if I would read it. Well, I said, yeah, that particular one I hadn't read, and I said, yes, I'll read it. And would I comment on it in the Bible class? And I said, I'll be glad. And so I was reading it, so it was laying out there. And so when he was paying his rent, why, he looked over and said, oh, are you a Christian Scientist? And I said, oh, no, I'm not. I said, are you? And he said, yes, I am. Well, anyway, one thing that another student talked about me. Now, he's an educated man, bright man, man has been, from what he said, a Christian scientist all his life. He said, I'd like to ask you questions, which I had asked many people. I think he's about the last one I ever asked that. Oh, yeah. It hasn't been too many years ago. And I said, could you tell me? And I said, you know, the doctrines of men, I know what the doctrines of Baptists is. I said, I've studied Catholicism extensively, and I said, most of the religions I could give you and tell you pretty well what they teach. Practice all different, of course. I don't know if I said that to me, but, and they are all different, which would make a lie out of this book here. And he said, well, I said, You know, he stood for a minute, looked at me, and he said, and he started backing towards the door, standing up, he started backing towards the door, the house door. And he said, well, you know, Mrs. White, he said, you know, something is rather hard to put into words. And I have to paraphrase it because I can't tell you the exact words he said, except that he was about the same that others had told me. He said, you know, we know within ourselves what we believe. And then he went on and described the beautiful thing that it was for him to believe. But he never described what it was. By the time he hit the door, it took him about 2 minutes to back to that door. Bye-bye, and he was gone. So I still, to this day, do not know. Even after reading the Christian Science doctrine, I know that she denied matter. Now, this is matter. This table is matter. It used to be a tree of some kind. She denies it. She denies sin on one page of her book, and about two or three pages later, she tells you not to sin. That bad stuff. She tells you no man sin. You don't die, she dies. A lot of Christian Science dies. And on, just crazy stuff like that. But she's got millions of people that adhere to her doctrine. Millions of them that give millions of dollars to that particular thing. Some odd thing that any religious organization you go through, you got to give money. Except the church part. Of course, God said in here, there's a purpose in our hearts and to give. We have to keep evangelists. We have to keep our church doors open and there's song books we have to buy. The Lord's Supper and things that go along for our gasoline, which we contribute to as individuals, as well as sometimes we take it out of the treasury. So it takes money to keep all of those things going. But on the other hand, we don't go around like Billy Graham, costing $1 million to start a crusade, which I just saw himself. Go down on one of these crusades, costs about $1 million. He sends out a force ahead of him. She didn't come, huh?
No.
She doesn't have a phone, so you can call her. Well, it would have been a very good idea to have called if there was some wrong way out on the room. I'll pull that. Father. Well, that's fine. That's good. She could have called us. Let us know. She is a very sick woman, but we could have called this morning. It's a good thing to call in the morning and find out for sure, because sometimes people intend to come and the next morning they're sick. When I called up Opal when she went home, I took her home, you know, before she got sick, and I said, well, I said, you want to come through? She said, well, yeah. I said, fine, you know, I'd like to come. They had, by the way, my cover. And so I said, well, I'll call you tomorrow. Well, I called her, and she was ill, you know. In fact, I didn't get home for her. She had gone to the hospital, and really. But usually, if I went by for someone, if they had a phone, I'd call them on the morning. I found one by. A lot of times, things happen, and they don't know they're going to happen. Now, we're going to have it much quieter. It can and have just a little going backwards and forwards to talk and so forth if we can, because at least for the present. Donna Winslow is here this morning, and we'll have some things to say about that later. We have guests today, and we'll talk about that later, and her children and so forth. If she calls you, you don't be sure that you call Hazel or me, one or the other, or Joyce, before you make any arrangements for anything or about anything. Some of you are talking ambiguously for a reason. This is some, when we have things, you know, in your own family, you don't always, if things happen that aren't very good, you don't know all of everybody telling everybody, do you? So when things happen in God's family, which is the church, and that is the whole family of God is called by one name. You know, you think the religious world would believe that, but they don't. They call themselves by all that, but they're not the family of God. Family is one name. But there is something there that you probably will need, and I would have told you about it before. You would have known about it this morning. It's not terribly important, but if she does happen to call you, there's no sympathy to be extended. I might say this. Sympathy is not a very good thing. Why? You're being misplaced and placed at the wrong way in the wrong time for the wrong people. You never find Christ sympathetic. He said, you liars and you hypocrites, you go over land and sea to make a light, and Ichamora, child of hell, and he was Elba. And so they go over into the, all these miscellaneous groups of people, made up by people, having their own gospels and their own ways, which are forbidden by God. You can't have your own way religiously. He put it down here from Adam and Eve on. He told us what to do. Who does it? Nobody but us. We're just a little handful. Well, when the Noah built the ark, there was only 8 in all the world that were saved. Years later, after Noah, there was only 70 in all the world that were saved. Down in the great nation, which was the largest nation on the face of the earth at that time, Egypt. 70 people in the world. This idea that, oh yeah, I'm God's creature. You're no more God's creature than I'm your grandmother. I never had any children, so I'm not a grandmother except your grandmother in Christ. You all become God's child when you're born into His family. You're born into the Smith family, you don't call yourself Jones. And when you're born into the family of Christ, you don't call yourself Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian. Whether you're a Methodist, Presbyterian, or a Baptist, that's what you are, but you're not a part of the family of God. Nobody knows that with us. And the great majority of the religious world don't believe it. Christ said, he that does not believe my gospel is dead. Christ said that. I didn't say it. I read it to you. Religious world doesn't believe the Bible. I had a woman yesterday, and they're telling me about it. And I've been calling her. Somebody gave me her name, and I think I mentioned to her just here that I've been calling for about 15 months. And I said, she told me a while back, she works out at the college, state college, in some capacity, a divorced woman with one child. I've never met her. We have talked quite at length. I talked to her an hour and a half yesterday. She plays around with unity, whatever that is. You know what it is. It's nothing. They have little booklets that put out with little prayers in them. This is your money prayer. This is your duty prayer. And God says, don't what?
Don't have your repetitious prayer.
Don't pray repetitious prayers to me. Over and over, they say, hey, I don't want to pull away from them. And they say, so they got little prayers for you. That's about all that you ever learned. It's this funny little prayer. I have my own prayers to say. I can talk to my God and get to Him. She can't. So yesterday when I talked to her, I saw that she wasn't going to come. So I went ahead. We talked for a while. She said, I keep wanting to come, and then I said, God, what's the matter with me? She said, I keep coming, wanting to come, and then I don't want to come. And I said, well, there's nothing wrong with you, because you just don't want to come. I said, that's why you're not going to come. So we talked, and she said, well, seemed to her, she tried a lot of religions, that unity had seemed to fit her better than anything. I said, that's because it's nothing. I said, there's nothing. I said, you talk about it. She said, well, educated woman. She can talk, you know, well, speaks well, and has a good mind on her, and you can listen to her. She has something to say. She has her own opinions, and she's very decided. Which I like. You got an opinion? Follow that. But she couldn't do it. She didn't have a lot of opinions. And I was willing to listen to her because I have a lot of truth to talk to her about. I never talked into anything because you're thinking, well, I'm going to get into Bible class, I'm not going to get you here. I'm going to talk to you. I said, let you know what God said here. I didn't write the Bible. 4,000 years old. No book like it in the world. It's the most neglected and distorted and plagiarized book in the world. We have hundreds of religions that say, we teach a Bible. And every one of them teach something different, making a liar out of God. That there's only one gospel, and he says, my words are truth. Now, truth never varies or contradicts itself. I don't know whether it's mathematical, philosophical, or scientific, or religious. Most people will say, well, no, scientific fact, the world's round. That's the scientific fact. Everybody knows that. Sure they do. 2 and 2 is 4. That's mathematical. Oh, I know that's a mathematical. Sure, I know that. Philosophical truth, well, a lot of people are in philosophy, a lot of heaven, it's just whatever you like to do, but there are philosophical truths. But there's one thing the world will not receive, and that's religious truth. They won't have it! You try to tell them that the earth's flat, and they got to tell them we're not. You try to tell them that Christ said, my words are truth! said, you know, there's just one thing. I know she can do that, but she's on the other end of the line. But she said, there's just one thing I can't believe, Marie. She said, I just can't believe in the virgin birth of Christ. She said, that's always stood in my way. I said, would you pray? I said, the same God that you say to pray to is the same God that said he was born of a virgin. I said, I'd like to ask you something, Jean. I said, could you tell me how a baby is conceived? Well, I didn't wait for an answer because I know she knows better than I do. She's conceived one. I never did. At least never born one. And so she said, so I said for her, I said, now, it takes two little tiny seeds that, all right, let's take the baby out, takes two little tiny seeds, so small that the human eye can't see them, to make you and I. Now, we admit that. I never saw one of those seeds. You ever see one? I doubt if anybody in this room has ever seen. But we believe that, don't we? Because we know it is a fact. Two little seeds you can. And I said, I asked her, I said, you believe in God? Yeah. I said, you believe that God made those little seeds that you can't see with a human eye that will make babies? She said, yes. Then I said, if you believe in God and it's an arm that he can make Christ with one seed instead of two, in the first place he made the two seeds. That would make you an eye, and then decided to make his son with one seed. I said, isn't it as easy to believe one thing? I didn't yell at her like that. She probably got off the phone. As I yelled. It's a good point, isn't it? If God can make two little seeds make you and I, then why couldn't he make one little seed to make his son? I didn't even try to go into the reason for the one seed even, because Christ was a spirit. She wouldn't understand anything about it. She was, in that area, she was as dumb as they make them. You just stay with unity for a little while, and you'll not only become dumb, but be worse off than if you hadn't. I know it's not about unity. You know, it's a very corrupting influence. And I did tell her that. I said, all unity does for you, I didn't think you feel that. A little verse of somebody's made up a prayer, you read it, it just makes you feel so dear. I talked like that to her, but I didn't make these motions, because as I said, I was probably invited to talk to your face. I wouldn't know why I did it to you. But it's so silly when you talk to grown-up people whom you assume have enough knowledge to know how to read and write and so forth, and then watch the contrary ideas that they have. I can't believe in the virgin birth. All you got to ask them, do you believe that you were born of two little seeds? Then why couldn't he have been born of one? Whoever made the two certainly made the one. Just as easy for me to believe that I came from two little seeds as it is that Christ came from one little seed. I said, who could make it up anyway? All right, tell you something. Nobody believes the Bible but us.
Well, yes, we agree. A lot of people in the religious world that believe in the veil on the hand, miracles and all this, why can't they believe in Christ?
They pardon?
They believe in these. The religious world believes, you know, in laying on a lot of them believe in, you know, tongue talking, laying on hands, things like this. They can believe, to themselves believe this. Or...
Well, there's no rationality. You're making a mistake, John, when you try to rationalize why people want to be a Methodist. You know why a Methodist wants to be a Methodist? Because he doesn't want to be a Baptist. Why is a Baptist a Methodist? Because he wants to be a Catholic. He chooses his own way. He doesn't come over here to find it out. Man doesn't rationalize why he believes at all. Every religion has its idol. Back here they have idols all over, built them up, even at the Catholic Church and many other religious institutions. They're not churches, by the way. Many other religious institutions build them up. But all have their idols. Mary Baker Eddy is the idol of the Christian Scientists. Smythe is the idol of the Baptist. Joseph Smith is the idol of the Mormon. Russell is the idol of the Jehovah's Witnesses, he started. You name it, and I'll tell you who their idol is. Billy Williams, the idol of the Baptist. The Pope owns the idol of the Catholics. And on, they have their idols. And they take what they want to take from here whenever they feel like taking it. We make a great big mistake when we think, well, God loves me. Well, I'll tell you, he said he loved the world enough to send his son down here that you might be saved. He did love you that much. From then on, you're on your own. Let me meet you. Well, I think we're all God's children. Well, you're not God's children. You're born of your mother and father. You're not God's children, so you're born into his family. You're not born into his family by doing what Billy Graham says. All you have to do is accept Christ as your personal Savior and give your heart to Jesus. I never knew I had to give my heart to Jesus. I never found a place in here where he ever asked for my heart. He did ask me to obey him. Christ is the author of eternal salvation unto all those who obey him. I never found a religionist. Out of the thousands and thousands that I've taught that ever could tell me what Christ said you had to obey. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. 99 9/10 of all the world has rejected that verse of Scripture and they never had their sins washed away. Yes, now it says in the Bible that you have to be saved, yes. You know how you have to be saved? You don't know neither does any other religion. There's nobody here that's a member of some other religious body or isn't a member of any religion can tell me how you have the Baptists, the Methodists, the Lutherans all say that baptism does not save you. Let me read what Christ said. You believe what Christ said, brother? You believe what Christ said? Let me read it. This is what Christ said. Now, this is what he said. I didn't write this. It's in every Bible. The 16th chapter of Mark, the 15th and 16th verse. Paul, Christ is talking to his apostles. And in the 28th chapter of Matthew, he told them there, the 18th and 19th verses, I have all authority in heaven up on earth. And where did the Pope get his? Where did you get yours? Where is the Baptist, the Methodist, or the Lutheran get their authority? They don't get it from Christ because they all differ. And that would make a liar out of Christ. Christ said to be immersed in the water, and all of those people, 85% of all the religious world, sprinkle little helpless babies on the head. You couldn't find that in the Bible if you look from now until doomsday. You say, well, why do they teach it? Because they don't believe the Bible. They like to believe what they want to believe. Until you learn that this is the book that you have to obey. You say, I don't read the Bible. All right, I'll read something to you, and we'll see if you do. Afterwards, Christ appeared unto the 11. Of course, usually, you know, they committed suicide. As they sat at meat, and he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them, which had come to them and said, we've seen Jesus. We arose. And they couldn't believe it. You know, they did later, but they didn't. So he said to them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Baptist, Methodist, why, they didn't come for 1,500 years later. The gospel that Christ talks about, the one that's written in the 27 books by the apostles, and I might read this to you before I finish that, just to show you what he said. These are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name or his authority. These words, he said, are mine. Watch what else he said. Now he said, these are written. So they go over to the Baptist manual, they go to the Methodist disciplinary, they go to the books of the Jehovah's, they go to the writings of Mary Baker Eddy of the Christian Science, they go to the writings of the Pope, they go to all kinds of books and writings, everything in the world, except these are written that you might know how to get together. I never met a religionist. Now there's thousands and thousands and thousands that I've talked to in the Bible. You say, you mean Billy Graham doesn't know? Well, if he does, he doesn't teach you. He teaches you can go to heaven, and all you've got to do is give your heart to Jesus and tell him that you want to make a personal savior. What do you need religion? And you don't need anything. He says, faith only saves you. James, the brother of Jesus, said in here that you're justified before God by works and not by faith only. Now, who lied, James or Billy Graham? I believe Billy Graham lied. Naturally. James lied? James said that, because you believe in God, he said, that's good. He says, the devil believes you. So Billy Graham says, believe in Jesus. Why, all he's doing is, the devil's already believed that devil, go to heaven. He said, this is awfully hard teaching. Why don't you go tell Christ that? He didn't put it down here and soften it up so you could take it and do what you wanted to. That's what man's done with it. They take it and soften it up. I'm going to believe what she's saying. Well, you don't have to believe what I'm saying. You better believe what Jesus said. He said, these are written that you might be saved. Now, Christ, just before he died on the cross for the sins of all the world, in the 17th chapter of John, in that great and wonderful prayer, one of the most beautiful prayers in all of the Bible, he prayed to his God to take the cup away, which was the cross of crucifixion. down on the 14th verse. I've given them my apostles, thy word. That leaves the Baptists, Methodists, and Catholics and all of them out, because their words weren't written until hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later. And he says, I give them the word, and the world hated them. And who hates us? The world hates us. Yes, they do. You want to be saved, everybody in the world should want to be saved. That's what Christ came into the world to save man. That's what he came for. But you've got 27 books here you got to do. You got to do something. Christ is the author of eternal salvation unto all those that obey him. You don't even know what he said, my flesh be healed. And that is in Hebrews 5, 8 and 9. So, in John 17, he said the world would hate us, and they do. We're made fun of even by our own brethren, our own wicked brethren. It's like Christ and Jesus chased him all over every place. His own brethren chased him all over trying to kill him. So he said the world ain't, so we're not surprised when the world turns against us, calls us name. Why, that woman gets up there and teaches everything is going to hell but one little group. You go into this Bible, baby, and you'll only find one little group that ever obeyed and went to heaven. One little group. There weren't many of us. Never was very many that ever obeyed. Not very many. So, I didn't write the Bible. God created man, and he created man for one reason, to glorify him. And what did they do? They glorify him every day today. They glorify Christ today. They even glorify homosexuals today. They have churches of their own, and they're put in places of authority. They're made policemen, and they're made and given. And God says over here that when the world does that, that world is easy to do. I find that in Proverbs. He's got a place where he does say that. But when the world justifies and lifts up the wicked, he said the world has reached a state of wickedness that you can't hardly go beyond it. So when we've got a world out there that's so wicked, it's because the religious world has, what the religious world has succeeded in doing in the last 25 years, is to make people disbelieve the Bible. How can Billy Graham go and say, read the Bible? And he tells you, all you got to do is give Christ, Christ you and make Savior, Jesus your Savior, and give your heart to Jesus. What do you need with the Bible? So they destroyed. What do you want? I hear too much conversation. What is it?
Proverbs 24.
All right, then just leave it there. And we want to leave it there. So the point is that nobody knows anything about the Bible, and most of the religious people you run into couldn't care less. They don't want to know anything about the Bible. And when you get a question like, what is your name? Rhonda? When you get a question like that, I could sit here now for the next 3 hours, and this is no joke, and it's not meant facetiously, and it is the truth, and teach you about the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God to save you if you believe it. Who believes it? All religious places have their own gospel, don't they? The Baptist is not like the Lutheran, Lutheran is not like the Methodist. Catholics are like, they're all different. There's 500 different denominational churches. Every one of them believing differently and contrary to each other. So they believe in Christ, but Christ said, if you believe in him, you must obey him. There is no such thing mentioned as original sin in this Bible. That's made up by man. Now, sin has always been from the time of what sin, because religious people never know the definition of sin. They don't know the definition of faith either. But they don't know what sin is. A Baptist doesn't go, when he worships and the things he does, they're not like the Lutherans. When the Lutheran worships and teaches his doctrine, that's not like the Methodist. Take your baby outside now, she's crying, please. And on to the 500 different denominations. Episcopalian to Methodist and Baptist and whatever they are, they're all different. Now, what was it? What did I start to say about that?
The definition of sin.
Yeah. So they... the religionists never define sin. What's sin to a Catholic is not sin to a Methodist. What's sin to a Lutheran is not sin to a Christian Scientist. A Christian Scientist,
there is no sin. No, there is no sin.
They teach that to educated people. You don't like the blacks either. You'll never see a black anymore. You know. broke it. That don't eat, and they did. But where's the sin? We told them not to, and they broke it. So sin has always been. Cain and Abel were there. Now, Karen, now, I don't know if Billy Graham does that, but I suppose he does away with it with all other people. And of course, he knows the people that he teaches. The minions that he teaches, they don't know what's in the Bible either. So Cain and Abel came along, and Cain worshipped God. He offered up offerings to God, and God even talked to him, but God rejected him. Well, if he believed in to believe God, accepts you, well, he didn't accept Cain. He took and branded him and set him out because he disobeyed him by not offering up the kind of offering that he told him to do. He proposed to offer up a blood offering, and he was an agriculturist. He was a farmer, and he brought the best of his field and said, well, God will like this because I did all of it, and I'll bring it over to God. God didn't ask that. That's what the religion was. I go over here, and I go to the Baptist or the Methodist. They're not churches. They're religious organizations. And I go there, and well, I go, you know, and I go to the Bible classes, and I try to do good. I don't go down cursing, and I don't commit fornication. And so I'm going to heaven. Well, you've got a whole book to learn that. Well, I just said you could put on one few little verses there. You got a lot of things to do. One of them is to eat and drink every first day of the week. Where did your little friend go? Oh, what? Well, somebody better go back and take her baby and let her come back in. There's so many back there, I haven't any idea what we should do next. So, in the 17th chapter, Christ said this. It's never changed. His words are here, they've been here 2,000 years, and they'll be here as long as the world stands. And in the 17th chapter, he prays there and says, I've given them thy word. The apostles, who wrote the New Testament? The apostles. That's who he gave them to. And they don't care anymore than what the apostles wrote. They, Mary Baker Eddy, she writes, so they take what she writes. And Billy Graham, he writes, and the Pope of Rome gives out his sentence. So they take what he writes. They come over here and take what? If you took. And everybody in the world took what Christ said, we'd all be in life. 500 million Catholics take what the Pope says, we're all right. About 6 million Baptists take what the Smythe said and what the Baptist manual says, and they're Baptists. About 3.5 million take what the Lutheran says, and they're Lutherans. If we all came over, threw all those books out, all the confusion in the religious world is in the man's books. The Mormon book contradicts the Jehovah's Witnesses. The Lutheran contradicts the Baptist, and they all contradict each other. All saying they teach this. But if we throw all the books out, every one of them, and everybody said, look, we want just the Bible, the Word of God. We don't know. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you this.
You know, you brought up the point where Billy Graham teaches that except Christ is a Christian Savior, and you'll go to heaven. Okay, one thing I was wondering here, where Mary Magdalene came to, you know, Son of God, and she told him that she was a harlot, and he said, go and sin no more. Now, did this say someplace in the Bible that she was baptized?
No, because she didn't need to be. That Christianity didn't come into being until after Christ was crucified and went back up to heaven. She was still under the Jewish law. She wasn't Jewess, because only they would be brought to Christ. The Jews, the 12 Jews that brought her to Christ. Because under that law, you had to be, if you were caught in the act of fornication, you were killed. And so they had brought her to him, and of course they were hypocrites. But under that law, and as long as Christ was here on earth, he could forgive sins, couldn't he? Mm-hmm. He'll go on through your New Testament, he forgave the thief on the cross.
Okay, so this is where I myself was having trouble, and, you know,
well, now, let me put this way. The first four books, Christ was a Jew, and he died a Jew. He was under the law of Moses all of his life. He lived it perfectly, the only man that ever did live it perfectly. Because no man has ever lived the law of God perfectly because he's imperfect. He said, if you say you're without sin, you're a liar, the truth is many. It's another thing I found that the religious world never knows what sin is. They never think of themselves as sinners. I am good, I am good. The very fact that you've never, that you're not a member of the Church of Christ makes you a sinner. Christ bought the church with his blood. When he shed his blood on that cross, in that terrible agony up there on the cross, he died for the world. In his death, they pierced his side. and out came blood and water. And you'll have to get to the water to get to the blood, and the blood shall cleanse you from sin. There's no religion on the earth.
Okay, I have another question.
Yeah.
What about the, you know, the cross and emphasis and things like that?
Yeah.
How do you feel about, you know, wearing the cross around Christmas neck and things like this? Now, to me, this, I was raised as a Baptist, of course, and everything, and I don't know if it was supposed to be where I was taught or what, but I had a message to the cross on it for a very long time. It fell off one day, you know, the pastor or something, and I never found it again, but I don't know if it made me feel this where, you know, and I don't know if this is because of where I was taught that the cross was a symbol of, you know, Christ being crucified on the cross, and it was a symbol of him giving his life for us and stuff.
We don't need symbols.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to know that he did die up there for us in the crucifixion. Read the 17th chapter of John.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, they go around worrying about little crosses hanging on us, or whether we should wear them. Why don't you worry about your soul? If you could die tonight, would you go to heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you worry about that?
Mm-hmm.
The little cross, of course we don't wear crosses around
mm-hmm.
and dress. It even tells us that we're to dress inexpensively, we're told in the Bible. And we're to dress modestly, we're told in the Bible. If I come down here with a $1,500 fur coat on, wouldn't I look nice sitting up here trying to... No one could do that, and Christ knew that most of us would be poor anyway. You give us money, why we'd probably go out and do what all the rest of the world does. So he made us, let us be poor. In that way, although he gives us all the comforts and the beauty of this life, we have all the good things in this life. We'll certainly have enough to eat and a car to get around. The point I'm getting to anyway is, we worry about the wrong things. Come unto me, all of you that labor and heavy laden. Wait a minute, they got a little cross hanging around my neck. Does it make any difference? I'm not trying to make fun of you.
No,
I'm just trying to show we worry about the wrong things. Why don't you worry what I die? If I die tonight, will I go to heaven? Do I believe the word of God?
I believe so.
My word is perfect, converting the soul. And if you don't know it, your soul's never been converted. A Baptist is converted by the intellect into the Baptist religion. And on through all of them. We don't wear signs on us, and certainly the cross of Christ. I think of my Savior, not on the cross, as my Savior who died in an agony of death to save old dirty me from sin. The cross means very little in that way, except that he was hanged on, he was put on, and died upon it in that horrible death. But the point is, our faith is in Christ. Christ came into the world, not his cross. Christ came into the world to save sinners. And Paul said, it was probably one of the most godly men that ever lived outside of Christ, and he said, of whom I am one of the chiefest, one of the worst sinners in the world, he says, I am he. And yet still he's one of the most godly Jews that probably ever lived. So anyway, getting over to my point. When Christ said my words, he said over here in the 17th chapter in this great prayer just before he died, he asked God to take away this cup. But thy will be done and not mine. And he didn't die for just you or just me or for himself or because he wanted to. He was a man here, and then he was a God, he was Christ, rather, but he also had flesh on him that would suffer, and he knew what that suffering would be. And then he told them that his words 2,000 years ago, he says, I give them to the apostles, and the apostles wrote this book. Now watch this, because it's important. He says, as thou hast sent me in the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. The last words of the 28th chapter of Matthew 18:9, he says, I have all authority in heaven and upon earth. And where did the Pope get his? Where did the Baptists get their authority for what they teach? Where did the Methodists get it? Where did they get it? Luther gets it from Luther. Mary Baker Eddy, the Seventh-day Adventist, gets it from Christian Scientists. And Mrs. White, the Seventh-day Adventist, gets it from her. And the Russellites or the Jehovah Witness get it from Russell. And you name the religion, and I'll tell you who their idol is and who they get their religion from. But Christ said to the apostles, all authority in heaven and upon earth has been given to me. And he said, neither pay I, Father, for these apostles only, but I pray for all those down through the ages who will believe on me through their words. That limits you, honey. No other words. He said, if you add to these words or take away from them, I'll take your name out of the book of life. And if your name's not in the book of life, I'll cast you into the lake of fire. That includes every religionist in the world. they commanded every man and woman that ever lived or ever would live to believe on the words of the apostles. And if you do that, my group will all like. You can't read it. And you give me the Mormon book, you give it over there to Joyce, you give it to Robin, you give it to Carol, and we read that book, both books of Mormon, and we believe them and obey them. What do we come out? We are the Mormon. You give me the Baptist manual, and you believe it, and Ron believes it, and Jeanette believes it, and Bill and I believe that Baptist manual, and we'll come up Baptist. You give me the Methodist disciplinary, and let 10 of us believe that, and we'll be Methodist. On and on to all the thousands of man-made religions, which Paul says, I didn't finish reading it, so I'll read it now, and then I'll read the other to you in just a moment. But he said, over here, and he said, you're following 2,000 years ago. They'd already started out to go their own way. And he said, you've gone out after another gospel. It's 2,000 years ago. He said, which is not another gospel. Why? The Baptist teach the death, burial, and resurrection. The Methodist teach the death, burial, and resurrection. The Catholic teach, and then the Catholic teaches death, burial, and resurrection. The Catholic way. The Baptist teach death, burial, and resurrection. Go the Baptist way. Truth and teach the same thing. Go that. On, 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 on. Teach the gospel, of the death of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. It already started to go away from him. He says it's not really another gospel because you're still teaching death, the death and the burial and resurrection of Christ. Listen to what he says. Though we, and he says, which is not another gospel, but there be some that trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. What's pervert mean? Change. Look at the reading. 500 million Catholics alone. 85% of all the religious were sprinkles of babies on the head. Even the Baptist teaches that you're born in sin. The Jehovah's Witnesses say to you, I never been able to find out how the little babies get rid of their sins. At least the Catholics have a little pity on them, and they sprinkle on the head to get rid of their sins. You couldn't find original sin in here. And besides, to show you, 85% now of all the religious world, that's millions, 500 million Catholics alone, believe in original sin. Now, sin is a transgression of the law of Christ. I want somebody in this room to tell me what law do those babies back there in that room, what law do they break? They're not sinners, are they? The Baptist teacher born into sin in this world. The Methodist teach the same thing. The Jehovah's Witnesses teach the same thing. All of the Catholics teach the same thing. Lutherans teach that. The Presbyterians teach it. The great big monstrous lie. They're everything with anybody that was pure, it's our babies. Of course, when they get big enough, Christ, that's why he said, if you say you're without sin, you're a liar, the truth isn't in you. When you get big enough to do sin, you'll be doing it. But Paul said there's no good thing in that flesh, and you're going to sin. The only one that ever lived on the face of this earth or ever will live without sin was Christ. Yes.
The one, I found a scripture on Deuteronomy 24:16 that says, the father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the father. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin.
The father
will
do what?
Deuteronomy 24:16.
Read it, and read also Ezekiel 18. The third chapter, down through it, and then read 18, I think it's 20. Find that for me down there. Ezekiel 18. Read it.
Yet say ye, why doth not the Son bear the iniquity of the Father? When the Son hath done that which is lawful and right, and hath kept all my statutes, and hath done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die.
Stop right there. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely. Put upon each individual the right to either take your soul to hell or to take it to heaven, right? You put it upon the individual. I can go to heaven if I want to. Nothing can stop me if I really want to go. And I can also go to hell if I want to. Nothing can stop me. Read the next verse.
It says, the Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity
That's
of
enough.
The Son.
Son cannot bear the iniquity of the Father, and the Father does not bear the iniquity of the... What is that? Then all of the millions of the religious were alive, including Billy Graham. They tell you that you're born in sin. Now, there's no sin until you've broken the law of Christ. There's no sin without the breaking of the law of Christ.
I had a Jehovah's Witness yesterday tell me that they didn't believe in it.
Well, of course they don't. They're no religionist. Baptist, Methodist, or anything else believes in the Bible.
No, what I mean is they said that